بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. It's the great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're able to gather again today in order to bless our tongues with the dhikr of His great name. And this is something that we should always be grateful for, as I mentioned yesterday and I reiterate today. The purpose of this gathering is to have an opportunity to be able to do some of these, to recite some of these adhkar together. You can ideally recite, you know, a dhikr on your own, but I think that having a set schedule with a set time and having everyone come together creates a unique opportunity for all of us to leverage each other's strengths so that we can encourage ourselves to do the most that we can do. As you're aware, we know from hadith that when a group of people gather together for the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are angels that seek out such gatherings. And those angels, when they find those gatherings, they stack on top of one another until they present the gathering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions to them that that He has forgiven everyone in the gathering. So although we're not present physically, our hearts are certainly present together spiritually. So I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow this mercy upon us and, on the basis of this gathering, allow us to be able to receive a similar reward. As I mentioned yesterday, I don't want to give a lengthy lecture. We, alhamdulillah, have many opportunities to be able to engage in lectures throughout this month. I wanted this to be more of a time for us to be able to beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be able to increase the serenity in our hearts. Because, as we're all aware, dhikr brings serenity to the hearts. So yesterday, I mentioned just the way that this gathering is organized historically is that we first give a short talk, and then we recite the various statements of the gathering together. And then after that, we then do a few minutes of muraqabah together and then make dua. And the purpose, I thought one of the benefits that we could leverage in this particular time window is to maybe discuss some of the various adhkar and the power behind them. So yesterday, I spent some time talking about the benefits of salawat, and I mentioned in particular that sending salutations or blessings upon the Prophet ﷺ provides us with a couple major benefits. The first is that anytime we send salutations on the Prophet ﷺ, we receive 10 blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a consequence of that. And then secondarily, we know that such salutations also lead to proximity to the Prophet ﷺ on the Day of Judgment. So I don't want to discuss this in more detail, because I have on a separate occasion discussed some details concerning the salawat. So today I want to move to the next line, which arises in our traditionally weekly gathering, but for the rest of Ramadan, daily gathering. And that is the following statement: Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. So this is one of the lines. If you've been joining us historically, you know that this line is present in our recitation. And I want to speak just briefly about some features concerning this line, because it's a very powerful statement. The first point that I'd like to make is that this actually is present in the Quran. Alhamdulillah. This is a part of a verse in the Quran, And it is, in particular, the circumstance is that after the Battle of Uhud, we know that the Muslims underwent some difficulty in that battle. And after that battle, there was a circumstance in which the news had come to the companions that perhaps the Meccans were regrouping and were going to come to directly attack Medina Sharif. Now, the Muslims had been wounded in this battle, and they were recovering, but word had come, and it was not accurate, but word had come that the Meccans were going to regroup, and they were going to come back, and they were going to destroy and ransack Medina. And upon hearing this, rather than becoming frightened, or rather than complaining or trying to turn away, the companions, they made this statement, "Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil." Allah is sufficient for us, and He is the best protector. So in essence, at a very difficult time, and under very difficult circumstances, when news came to the companions that they should increase in their fear, and that they should become worried, instead, they made such a statement, and this statement showed their reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which in essence only increased their iman and granted them a certain degree of serenity. Because they recognized that in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient. If a person has Allah, they don't need anything else. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best protector. He's the best defender. He's the best guardian. Why don't we say that? He's the best guardian. And by making this statement, they were merely expressing the concept that was present in their hearts, namely that dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely necessary, especially at times of difficulty. Now, this statement is actually not unique to the companions. It is also, in fact, narrated in the book of Imam Bukhari that this statement was the statement made by the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam at the time that he was about to be thrown into the fire. So all of you are aware that the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, it's a little bit of a lengthy story. Again, I don't want to give a lecture, but eventually what happened was he had rebelled against the idols that the people around him were worshipping. And as a punishment, he was they threatened to throw him in a very large, hot, blazing fire. And as they were preparing to throw him in that fire, he had these words on his tongue. In fact, the hadith in the book of Imam Bukhari again mentions that these were the words on his tongue. Now, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him from that and actually commanded the fire to become cool. So although he was thrown in the fire, it cooled for him and he was able to simply walk out unharmed. But at that very, very extreme moment of difficulty, when it seemed like there was nothing else that could help the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he turned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this phrase, "Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil." Similarly, just one more point concerning this, and again we could talk about this all day, but one more point concerning this is that the Prophet alayhi salam also encouraged the believers to recite this phrase at times of difficulty. So if a person finds that they're stressed out, or they find that they're feeling overwhelmed, or they find that a circumstance has come upon them that they deem to be particularly difficult, then this is a wonderful thing to recite. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Just looking at this linguistically and applying it to contextually, you know, to make it more understandable for ourselves, hasbunallah, Allah is sufficient for us. Allah suffices us. And essentially what this means is that whatever the circumstance, in the end, if you have Allah, if we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we don't need anything else. You know, if you have the pleasure of Allah, then even if the world is not necessarily pleased with you, then you have succeeded. If you have success from Allah, then there is no failure after that. Once a person has Allah, they have everything. Everything else is secondary. All other things are secondary. And so if a person can achieve this state where in their heart they really believe that Allah is sufficient for them, then that is a very high state for a believer to attain. And of course, the second statement, وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ, he's the best of protectors. One of the examples that I like to give concerning this statement is simply to just look at children when they undergo, if you try to explain a difficulty to them. I'll just give you an example in the context of this virus. It's very interesting, people are worried about the virus, and they're stressed about the virus, and rightly so. It's something new and something unique, and you know, I have no doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring us out of this in the way that He has brought the us through prior trials. But I can see and it's understandable that it's a time of stress because it's something new and it's something unknown and something that we're not necessarily used to. So understandable. But it's interesting when I see my children talk about it, they'll kind of pay attention to it for a moment. But then they just go on continuing playing, and they're not really worried about the virus. They're just kind of playing and busy and doing what they're doing. And I think part of the reason for that is because they don't have to worry because they know their parents will take care of them. They're not worried about, how is food going to show up on the table and whether the appropriate supplies and masks and gloves and whatever else a person needs is present or not. Because they're not responsible for it. They as children, they recognize that I don't need to worry about these things because I have a parent, and my parent is going to protect me, and my parent is sufficient for me. So as long as the parent's present, children tend to be comforted. But if the parent were missing, for example, let's say they get lost from the parent in a mall, you'll see that they start bawling and bawling and bawling tears. And the reason is because that dependency that they have on the parent, that's threatened. So if they were lost with a parent, they don't worry. They don't worry as much. But if the parent is separated from them, they become very worried. Now, that's the example of a child with the parent, where the parent is still human, the parent is still limited, the parent also, is fearing them for themselves. But what is the example of us spiritually with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of all. He's absolutely independent. He has no need for anyone. Nothing can harm him. Nothing can make him any greater. He is great as he is. And we have this beautiful opportunity to rely and depend on this Allah. And so if we look at our children and we think, wow, these children are not worried because they know they have their parent and they don't need to worry about it, then why would we need to worry? We have nothing to worry about. If we keep our connection with Allah, if we keep connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we don't need to worry about anything else. Now, if our connection breaks with Allah, that is a time for tears. That when a person makes istighfar, that is a true time for tears because they, by sinning, have broken that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if a person is connected with Allah and is, trying to please Allah, is keeping a relationship with Allah, turns to Allah, is appreciative of Allah, is grateful to Allah, is repentant to Allah, prays to Allah, then they have a connection with Allah. And when they have a connection with Allah, then Allah is sufficient for them, and Allah is the best protector. So we should know that we can comfortably rely on our Lord, and that He is the one that's managing everything. So yes, the virus and these other types of things that occur in life, and the virus is just one, there'll be many circumstances like this in life that challenge us. But these types of things, if we have Allah, then we don't need to worry about the rest. The virus is a tiny particle that was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is only acting in accordance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will only harm whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deems that virus to harm. And the ones that Allah deems to be cured will be cured from that. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that this is going to disappear, it's going to disappear. This is all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We only have to turn to Him and rely upon Him. So we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should remember that He is sufficient for us. And we should always be cognizant that He is the best of protectors. Whatever the difficulty, if I'm having difficulty in a relationship with someone, I'm having difficulty in my job, I'm having difficulty with my children, I'm having difficulty in my goals, This is a very nice statement to recite on occasion for a person who's trying to bring peace to their heart and who's trying to remind themselves of the nature of their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, by reciting this type of statement, eventually it gets internalized, and when it gets internalized, that then creates a very special state for a believer. So I'm not going to belabor the talk. We've had an opportunity to review this. Again, it is a statement from the Quran, and so it's a nice opportunity as well to gain the associated blessings. Remember that when a person recites any word from the Quran, they receive 10 rewards, but not 10 rewards for the word, 10 rewards for each letter. So for example, Hasbunallah, or just let's take Hasbuna. Hasbuna has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 letters. So those 5 letters provide 50 rewards. So, you know, you can only begin to add up the rewards, and you quickly see what another amazing opportunity these types of adhkar have for us to be able to earn reward. Just from saying Hasbuna, again, like I said, 50 rewards, and then on top of that, they get multiplied who knows how many times in Ramadan, and then on top of that, we're fasting, and how many times that's going to get multiplied, and again, a supercomputer would lose its ability to compute if one tried to even capture the amazing blessings of our Lord. So subhanAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless us with such opportunities. So again, we'll move on to the dhikr, and the way this dhikr works is very simple for those of you who are new. I will just, the goal is not for me to create a large, noisy gathering. This is really a silent dhikr. And the only reason I make any statement whatsoever throughout the dhikr is to just keep everybody organized and to guide you along for which line we're proceeding to. And so the way it begins is that it sort of goes back and forth between salawat and various statements. So when I say salawat, that's an indication that we should recite salawat upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I've provided the salawat on the screen if you happen to be logged in. And then, aside from the salawat, every single other line is going to be one line of dhikr. In this case, you know, for example, one line that we're going to come across very quickly is Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil, and this is something that I've already explained the meaning for, and so hopefully you can begin to inculcate some depth and some relationship with these words, and you can really think about every letter as you say it to capture what the power of this particular statement is. So, you know, just very quickly, because I'm mentioning this here, hasbu means to suffice, and na means us, and Allah is what is sufficient. So Allah suffices us. Allah is sufficient for us. Wow is and. Ni'mal wakil. Wakil means protector, and ni'mal wakil means the best protector. So Allah suffices us, and He is the best protector. He is the best guardian, just as an example. And of course, there are other lines in the dhikr, and so, you know, we spend a few moments reciting each of these lines. When you're reciting these lines, you don't need to worry about timing. You don't need to worry about counting. You just need to relax and enjoy the words. It's my responsibility to guide the gathering and to move it from line to line. When it's time to end, I'll stop the gathering, and I'll move us on to the next portion.